Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to some of the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing in the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion and delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, for the next hour, they're going to be your views as well, because this is Open Line Wednesday, and we're looking forward to hearing from you. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295 here in the Central Coast of California. And you can talk about what I'm talking about, or you can talk about whatever you'd like to talk about. But right now, I think the thing that's on the minds of most people is what's going on financially. As you know, the Dow Jones closed at less than 8,000 today, down around 79 something or rather, but certainly a dramatic fall in the stock market. But you have to understand that what's going on is all manipulated. Everything is manipulated. Your reality is manipulated. And, of course, it's done by the Working Group on Financial Markets, also known as the Plunge Protection Team. And, of course, I really want you to go up on the Internet and check this out to find out if I'm telling you the truth. You can Google in the Working Group on Financial Markets, get the background of this group, authorized by the Reagan administration, made up of the representatives from the U.S. Treasury, from the Federal Reserve, from the Federal Reserve Bank of New York, from the SEC and the Commodity Trading Board. And these five departments actually come up with hundreds of billions of dollars to manipulate the stock market on a regular basis. And they know whether the market's going to go up or down. Sometimes the market will be down all day long. And then just in the last 30 minutes will come in, you know, billions of dollars of orders coming out of the Cayman Islands, running up the price. Most people put their bid for stock in at the market rate. They don't bid it up or offer to pay more than it's being sold for. But that's what these people do to manipulate the stock market, and they'll drive the market up from a loss of 400 to a gain of 200, or vice versa. And of course, they've been trying to prevent a rapid decline in the stock market down to where it really ought to be. They didn't want that to happen before the election to get people alarmed and get people thinking. But now, of course, they're allowing the market to fall. They've been manipulating the commodity prices very, very effectively. They're certainly manipulating the prices of gold and silver, because there's shortage of both gold and silver. It was just this last week that Saudi Arabia bought $3.5 billion worth of gold bullion, and whether they picked it up and moved it to Saudi Arabia, I don't know. Or they're going to keep it in Switzerland in a bank there. But anyway, they're buying up gold, and production of gold is dramatically down because they've lowered the price artificially, and there's a shortage of gold throughout the world. Yet, of course, the price remains low. Until recently, it's been quite hard to get. Apparently, the supplies have loosened up a little bit, and you can get the American Eagles and the Canadian Maple Leaf coins and a few of the European coins. And I think that they're doing that just to allay apprehension so the people will think there really is the severe shortage there is. But certainly when it comes to silver, why, there's a very definite shortage. The mines are not turning out the silver. Silver mines cannot operate as they manipulate the price of silver down. And they manipulate the prices, but now we see the prices of all sorts of commodities falling, of copper and zinc, and all representing the terrible really collapse of the world economy and the lack of manufacturing. And we'll be back. Give us a call, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we're facing very, very difficult economic times, and we're also facing difficult times because nobody's out there in the listening audience is calling in, and I'm not necessarily prepared. We're just sort of talking about what is going on in the world today economically, but we see the market falling. We see more and more of our states having very real economic problems. Here in California, why they're not going to be able to give as much money to the schools, and they're going to actually have to cut the funding for each school child about $300 a year. Of course, I can't say that I'm necessarily against that. I think that we have one of the highest rates of actually funding of our school children here in California that they have anywhere in the country, and we're not getting our money's worth. These young people come out, they can't read. Most of them are defective in mathematics because they've been deliberately dumbed down by our educational system, and it is not the size of the schoolroom class that makes the difference. My wife went to a school up in Canada, and she had actually were in classes. There'd be 45 or 50 children in the class, and yet she got a wonderful education. It's the teacher. It's what they're being taught. It's the fact that the children were taught to read phonetically. They were taught the fundamentals of mathematics rather than the new math, which is, how do you feel about math? And, well, it really doesn't depend whether one and one makes two or it could be three. It's how do you feel about that? And you say that's crazy talk. And, well, unfortunately, we have a failed educational system because we're not teaching our children the basic fundamentals of mathematics, which is why, of course, we're not developing the mathematicians and the other people who are experts in calculus and other advanced forms of mathematics that are necessary to run an industrialized society. Well, right now we've got Mike calling in. And so, Mike, hey, how are you doing? Mike, are you there? Mike, are you there?
I'm here.
No, there we are. Okay,
yeah,
fine. Go right ahead.
Yeah? Okay.
Okay, go ahead. Did you have a question or comment?
A little of both. I wanted to talk about the bailout, but first I wanted to talk about the math you were just talking about, because I got into a discussion with a professor once about this new math or this fuzzy math or fuzzy logic, and I was really trying to nail the guy down because he was saying one and one doesn't necessarily equal two. And I just couldn't get over it. And I said, now wait a minute. If I have one marble and one marble, then I have two marbles. I have exactly two marbles.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly we were talking about the fuzzy math that's been taught here in California for some time. Mike said he got engaged in a conversation with a professor who was telling him that one and one doesn't necessarily make two. And so Mike, of course, came back with the idea that if he had one marble and added a second marble, he had two marbles. What was wrong with that, and what did the professor say?
He said no. He said not necessarily. He said, in the case of each marble, you don't necessarily have a whole marble there. You have to look and see if there's chips. Or the point being, that sounds rather simplistic, but his point was that almost never do you ever have exactly one plus exactly one. And so the whole thing, the whole mathematical system, as far as I was concerned, disintegrates from there. And I don't see how any kid could come up through an education of high school and college and end up with his head on his shoulders.
Well, of course, but you see, they don't want them to have their head on their shoulders. They do not want them to think in absolutes, because absolutes gets back to the concept that there is a right and there is a wrong, that there is a God who has created a sense of order in society, whether it be in mathematics or chemistry or physics or astronomy or whatever it would be, that there is a God and everything is in perfect order. And what these professors are doing, and believe me, I think we'd be far better off if most of them were fired, is intentionally confusing our young people. And I had a lot of people when I went to college, professors who were there not to educate but to indoctrinate and to fill my head with all sorts of things that weren't true. Fortunately,
yeah, well,
fortunately, I overcame my education. But go ahead.
Well, I'm glad you did, as along with a lot of the audience. But this professor decides in the end that I'm the one with the problem. That I have some kind of rigid thinking and defective in my ability to accept change and all sorts of things. And I just had to walk away saying to myself, well, we put men on the moon with one plus one equaling two. So we had to have been doing something right in my generation anyhow.
All right, fine. I think that's a point well made. Anything else you'd like to
say?
Well,
yeah, the so-called bailout, the discussion goes round and round in the talk radio and news. And
now, are you talking about the bailout for the automobile industry? You're talking about the bailout for the financial institutions? You're talking about the bailout for the people who are losing their homes, where the real trouble began with. At least that's what we're told.
Yeah, well, this week it's the discussion of the automobile industry.
All right, fine.
Next week it's going to be something else. And the week after that, they're going to have something else to occupy their mind. I'm talking about the bailout in general ever since this thing passed a month ago.
All right, fine.
All we heard about was $700 billion and $850 billion. Everybody's discussing, well, how much taxpayer money is going towards the automobile industry or the banking industry should be going to the mortgage industry and should be going to those who are losing their homes and things. Well, everybody's talking about taxpayer money, and I just want to scream and call out my radio because it's not taxpayer money as far as I can tell. Down the road, it'll be the taxpayer money of our children and their children and their children and their children. But for now, I'm looking for hard information on just where these gazillion billions of dollars are coming from. Some people are saying, well, it's coming from foreign governments and investors and things. And I have a hard time believing any of that as far as I can tell. It's not money. It's credit that's being injected in the system from the Federal Reserve, made out of air molecules, thin air, as most people say. Where can we look for good information on exactly where the Treasury is getting this money?
Well, I think the first thing you have to do is look at the federal debt. My understanding is that it's increased about somewhere $400 or $500 billion, about $500 billion over this last 6 or 8 weeks. So that is money that they're going to have to borrow, and of course they're doing everything they can to borrow this from other countries. If they can't borrow it from other countries, they will simply create it out of nothing. They call that monetization, where you create new money to buy up debt, and then of course but we always end up paying interest to the members of the Federal Reserve Board. In other words, when you do create bonds and you create artificial debt, and of course it's paid for simply by printing or by creating credit, as you say, there's always interest on that, and that goes then to the people who hold the stock in the Federal Reserve System. And, of course, I suspect a lot of this money is simply credit entries that they're not even worried about at the present time. They're simply going to be lending money. They've lent at least $1 billion to the Central Bank of Europe and to the banks over in Switzerland and certainly the banks, Central Bank of Great Britain. And then, of course, they've lent money, I think, $30 billion to Hungary and $30 billion to three or four other countries. And I think that they've just created this credit. But they say, well, since it's a loan, we're not giving it to them, it's a loan, why we don't really have to have the money. All we have to do is show that the bank entries, that we lent it to them. But, of course, it's all phony. This whole monetary system has nothing behind it. It's all an illusion. And until the American people understand that this is all illusionary, why, we're going to continue having the same problems. Hey, we've got a full board. Did you have anything else quick you wanted to say?
Well, I've just been looking for information from the Treasury on where this money or credit is coming from. The discussion goes back and forth mainly between is it foreign governments or is it pure credit from the Federal Reserve.
Well, we're trying to borrow money, of course, from China and Japan, but they're not really. China is actually not buying our bonds now. Japan still is. And the reason Japan is buying our bonds is because we occupy their country. We have a military occupation of Japan. We've had it, you know, for almost 60 years now. I got about 54 years since the war ended. No, 64 years since the war ended. So basically, we occupy Japan, and they do what they're told to. And they're actually buying, purchasing our bonds. But increasingly, countries throughout the world don't want to buy our bonds because they know very well that the dollar is going to fall precipitously because of inflation. And people are turning against the American dollar. When that happens, heaven help us. Okay. I got to run, Mike.
Okay.
God bless. Thanks so much. Let's go to Smitty calling from Cheyenne, Wyoming, I assume. Hi, Smitty. How are you doing?
Yes, Dr. Sand. Greetings from Wyoming and the plain.
Good to have you with us.
I had a comment and a question. First, my comment is, I don't know what kind of doctor you were, but as a talk show host, you're par excellence, sir.
Well, thank you. I was an orthopedic surgeon.
Well, you're a great talk show host. That's a real calling.
Thank you so much. Well, I've always wanted to be a talk show host. I never thought I would really have the opportunity to talk to people all around the world every night. But anyway, I appreciate your compliment. God bless you.
My question is, have you read this new book by M. Stanton Evans, Blacklisted by History, The Untold Story of Senator Joe McCarthy?
I haven't, and I really feel very bad that I haven't. I would very much like to read it.
I'm almost through with it, and Dr. Stan, this is a blockbuster. This goes through every permutation of Senator McCarthy's career and how the liberal press smeared him at every single turn of it, and he goes into the FBI files, and the Vienna transcripts from the intercepts of the Soviet Union and into the KGB archives, showing that McCarthy was more right than he ever knew.
Well, I think there's no question that that there were communists working at the highest levels of our government, and many of the people that McCarthy identified really were communists. The thing was, of course, that Joe McCarthy did not understand that it was not the communists in our government that were selling out our country, that had brought communism to China, had turned Eastern Europe over to the communists. It was people within our State Department tied into the Council on Foreign Relations. I don't think Joe McCarthy ever had any idea of the fact that communism had been financed from its inception by wealthy financiers right here in the United States, and a few from Europe, but primarily from the United States. So Joe McCarthy was right in his identification of communists, but of course that, of course, is simply a smokescreen to take us away from the question is, who financed the communists? Why did the American State Department bring communism to China and to Eastern Europe? And the answer to that question is, because there is another force behind communism. And then, of course, as you learn about the Council on Foreign Relations and later the Bilderbergers and Trilateral Commission, but the McCarthy period, it was primarily the CFR and this Anglo-American establishment that Professor Quigley describes so well in his book. And then, of course, as you begin to understand them, then you have to say, what is behind the Council on Foreign Relations? And that takes you, of course, into the spiritual forces, the secret societies that created the Council on Foreign Relations and still dominated today. So I really would like to get M. Stanton Evans on. I think he did a great job in that book. But, I mean, we have to look beyond and then beyond. And it's like peeling away the levels of an onion, you know, layer after layer after layer.
You're very right, communism being just one arm of the conspiracy.
Right.
I've heard Evans on G. Gordon Liddy about a year ago, and it took me over a year to track this down through the local library to finally get it, and I am just blown away by it. It's his magnus opus, and I've read Evans since 1960, I think.
I actually had a chance to interview him one time. He's a nice man. I'd like to get him on again. Who is the publisher of the book, do you recall?
I have it right in front of me.
All right.
It's a very long book, very well documented and footnoted. It is published by Crown Forum of New York.
Now, Crown, okay, that's a subdivision, I think, of Random House, one of the others, but I will get hold of that, and maybe we can get Mr. Evans on some evening.
God bless you, Dr. Sam.
Thanks very much. God bless you, and thanks for calling. Okay, well, our telephone number again is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Give us a call. And right now, of course, we're going to go to Roger in Allentown. But again, right now the board is empty. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. I'd like to know what you're thinking about what's going on tonight. And believe me, we're in real trouble because most people have no grasp of how this all fits together. Well, Roger, how are you doing? Haven't heard from you for some time.
All right, thank you, Dr. Stan, and God bless. And, boy, I'm in the break here, so I was kind of hoping more people would hear this. Could you...
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four tape or a four CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets. A little protects your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
I know what it's like to lay awake at night and worry about mounting credit card debt. That nagging feeling in the pit of your stomach that just won't go away. And the phone calls from collectors. Forget about it. Then I called Help You Out of Debt. Their professional staff of debt mediators were able to help me get my upside down finances back on track and help stop the phone call. My Help You Out of Debt settlement specialist understood exactly what I was going through. My specialist was able to get creditors off my back, negotiate huge reductions on most of my balances, and help me fight back against the credit card companies. Help You Out of Debt specialists are experts in debt mediation and settlement. They are on your side. They've helped thousands of people just like me and can help you too. Call now and get a free debt review. If you're $10,000 or more in credit card or unsecured debt and ready to start fighting back, call 866-374-3101 and get your free debt review. That's 866-374-3101 or on the web at helpyououtofdebt.com.
1952 from medical school. I spent 2 years in a year in internship, 2 years in the military, a year of general practice residency, 4 years of orthopedic residency. Started medical practice in 1960. I took off in 1974, went to Africa, spent 3 years there, where I was the head of a large black hospital, the Pelonomi Black Hospital, and on the staff I was sort of the assistant professor there of they didn't call you a professor, I've even forgot, I guess I was a senior surgeon there at the University of the Orange Free State Medical School. Loved it, loved the teaching, but because of illness of my mother and father, I returned to the United States in 1977, and we really kept trying to get people educated about what was going on, but people didn't want to hear, got involved with the California Medical Association, was the senior delegate there for Mike County for a number of years, led the battle to try to address the AIDS epidemic as a public health issue rather than as a civil rights issue. Finally, brought the doctors in the House of Delegates of the California Medical Association around to my point of view after about 8 years, got a standing ovation from the House of Delegates of the California Medical Association supporting a proper public health approach to the AIDS epidemic that was killing so many people unnecessarily, and came to the conclusion that the CMA, organized medicine, was not going to do what the doctors wanted. We were not going to try to stop the epidemic, and that, of course, led me to a study of population control, and eventually I ran for Congress, and eventually I went into talk radio, and here we are. Anyway, let's get to our Ken, who's calling in from Seal Beach, California. Our telephone number again is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And hi, Ken, how are you doing?
Pretty good. It's been a while since I've called you.
Well, good to have you with us tonight.
I had a chilling interview. I interviewed the number two man in the Theosophical Society worldwide. He lives less than 2 miles from me here in Seal Beach. He lives in Long Beach.
What's his name?
His name is Robert Bunnell.
All right.
He was a, he's a retired chiropractor, but that's not important. He's a Luciferian. He, like I say, Theosophic Society. He's 83 years old. And I had a chilling 30-minute interview with him. And he agreed to give me an interview, and he allowed me to record it. And what I have done is I have typed up a four-page document on this interview, word for word. I've sent it to several people. I'll send you a copy of this thing. But I just wanted to hit a couple highlights if you have a minute.
Sure, go ahead. And I would very much like to have a copy of it. And would he come onto our radio program?
Oh, boy. That's a good question.
Well, why don't you ask him? We'd love to have him come on.
I'll ask him that. But right. I have to be 100% honest with him.
I certainly would not want you not to be honest with him. After all, I mean, this is the one thing we have. If we're not honest, if we're not people of integrity, we're no better than they are.
Yeah. In other words, in the sense that that I would have to tell him that you. Let's be honest. We're not on his side. You know, he has to know that. Okay?
Right. Well, that's fine. But sometimes these people feel very strong. I believe these people are very sincere. I think they're sincerely wrong. I think they're dangerous. But I think that everybody's looking for answers to the problems of mankind. And as a Luciferian, he has found what he thinks is the right answer.
Yeah, okay.
He has been totally free. He no longer has the restraints that God would place on man with the Ten Commandments. But tell us what you found.
Okay. Let me about two or three questions. Like I said, there are 36 questions. I'll hit just two or three just to give you a flavor of what this man is about. First question to him, and I had them all written down because I had thought about this and called some friends and give me some questions. And by the way, I'm going to have a follow-up interview with him, too. He's agreed to let me have a follow-up interview. All right. Who created mankind in the universe? Answer, that's an excellent question. I can't answer that. It's an infinite question, and I have a finite mind. By the way, he's a brilliant man. I've got to be honest. Most of these top-level people are brilliant. Okay. Here we go. Who is Lucifer? He is both the light and the dark side. Now, this is interesting because, as you know, Albert Pike believed the same thing. There are not two entities, God and Lucifer. There's only Lucifer, who represents both good and evil, and they worship both sides of Lucifer. Okay? I had a feeling that is what he believed, and he confirmed it. Okay. What is the Great White Brotherhood? They are the hierarchy of adepts. They control the world in certain ways. They never override our karma. They simply step in sometimes and help out before we self-destruct. Now, this will be the last question coming up here. Is there a connection between the Theosophic Society and the Freemasons? Yes. They have a lot in common. They are very much alike.
I would love to get the copy. Do you actually have that on tape? Hold that thought.
Okay.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. We have Ken from Seal Beach, and he had an opportunity to interview someone from the Theosophical Society.
35 questions, I noticed here. Okay. By the way, one final thing here. Robert Bunnell was the same name as the doctor in the original Invasion of the Body Snatchers. And here's his, I said, is that a coincidence that you have the same name? And he said, I knew the writer. He was a Luciferian, and he named the character after me.
I see. Well, that's a fascinating thing. Well, anyway, please get that off to me. Do you know how to reach me?
Yes.
All right, fine. God bless Ken. And if you ever ask him if he would be willing to do a radio interview, tell him. We certainly treat him with respect. We may disagree with him, but we'll give him an opportunity to get his views out across America. Thanks very much.
Fine. Bye.
Okay, fine. Well, that, of course, is a fascinating interview with Ken from Seal Beach, who had actually tracked down a gentleman who was at the hierarchy of the Theosophical movement. And for those of you who don't know, the Theosophists are very strong here in California. They have a center in Ojai, but they also have the Philosophical Research Foundation. I believe it's in Los Angeles, where Manly P. Hall operated for many years. And much of this is covered in great detail with interviews in Chris Pinto's wonderful presentation entitled, Riddles in Stone, Riddles in Stone. We carry that. You really want to get both of those videos. One is The Secret Mystery of America's Beginning. The other is Riddles in Stone. Fascinating interviews you'll not see elsewhere. We'll be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is one of my favorite times of the week, Open Line Wednesday. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295, we've got Raymond calling from Washington State. Hi, Raymond. How are you doing?
How you doing, Doctor?
Doing just great. Are you in eastern Washington there around Spokane?
I'm actually below in the Tri-Cities.
Okay, fine. Because we've got an Outlook, one of the Tom Reed's radio stations is there. So you listen to us on the radio?
Well, you know, I started listening to you not long ago, and I really like what you have to say. So, you know, and now I'm listening more, to your program. So okay. I stay here in my car and I listen to your program.
Okay, fine. Okay, what would you like to talk about tonight?
My question to you is, what's the role of religion, what's it going to play in the future? Because, as I talk to some of my friends, come from a different, not really religion, it seems like there's a lot of, Christian groups popping up, non-denominations, and it seems like everybody has the answer, to the truth of what Christ, wanted, people to do. But it seems like they're losing, what Christ, really wanted them to do. Oftentimes, and I've been to some of their churches, is everything's about comfort, it's about what I want, not about what Jesus wants. So my question to you is, how is that going to affect, the population in the future in which, everybody, it's all about what I want, what I need, I'm going to pray how I want to pray, I'll marry when I want to marry, it's okay, to sleep around as long as, you'll get married down, the road. But it seems like everything's okay now, regardless, of what Jesus Christ taught, it seems like everybody has some kind of say of,
All right, fine. I know what you're trying to say, and I share your concern. The thing is that there is a conscious, organized, orchestrated effort to destroy Christianity. We're involved in a spiritual battle, of course, between the forces of God and the forces of Satan. And the forces of Satan have infiltrated the Christian seminaries. They've infiltrated the Christian denominations. And they're set out to change the message of the church, the music of the church. And you're absolutely right. How do you feel about Christianity? How do you feel about this this statement in John 3:16 or, they'll quote you some other scriptures that we want to know what your input in it. Well, it doesn't matter what you and I feel. It is what the Word of God says. And if you believe that the Bible is the Word of God, and I do, we are to follow that. And Cynthia, God is very, very specific about sex outside of marriage. There's no two ways about it. There's no equivocation. It's not what you want. But God has certain barriers there to keep us from hurting ourselves, from destroying ourselves. And the same thing comes true with honesty. You know, if nobody knows that you have an opportunity to do something dishonest, is there going to be anything wrong with doing something dishonest? If not going to hurt anybody else? And the thing is, we are answerable to God. God knows if we've done something wrong. And believe me, we are all sinful individuals. And if we do not follow God's lead, and if we do what we want to, why, we're going to have moral anarchy, which is exactly what we have today. There is an effort to destroy the church. They will fail because, of course, God will not be thwarted. But in the meantime, we're going to see some terrible times here in America. And I believe God is going to bring terrible judgment on this country because we've turned again.
Because we've been through a transition, the likes of which no one is prepared for, said Salenti, knowing that the people's refusal to acknowledge that America was even in a recession highlights how big a problem denial is in being ready for the true scale of the crisis. Salenti, who successfully predicted the 1997 Asian currency crisis, the subprime mortgage collapse, and the massive devaluation of the U.S. dollar, told UPI in November last year that the following year would be known as the Panic of 2008, adding that giants would tumble to their deaths, which is exactly what we have witnessed with the collapse of Lehman Brothers, Bear Stearns, and others. He also said that the dollar would eventually be devalued by as much as 90%. The consequence of what we have seen unfolded this year will lead to lowering in living standards, Salenti predicted a year ago, which is also being borne out by plummeting retail sales figures.
And I tell you what, it sounds like he's been listening to our programs. We've been saying this for a long time. Plan to lower our living standards, destroy the value of our currency. I think he's right on. I don't know if his timing is right on, but he may very well be right. I share your concern, and I think that this is the message we keep trying to get out 5 hours a day. And, of course, behind this is this realization that God brings terrible judgment on nations that turn against him. But, yes, I have read what you're reading, and as I read it, you know, I thought that here's a man who may very well be right. I am very concerned that he is absolutely right. Anything else, Ed?
Well, no, I just wanted to bring that to your attention. And
I appreciate so much your coming on and reading that for our listeners. Again, give that gentleman's name so they can look it up on the Internet and pull it down.
His name is Gerald Salenti.
How do you spell it?
C-E-L-E-N-T-E. And he is the CEO of Trends Research Institute, and he's...
And that basically is it's a think tank that is actually, you know, they're trying to anticipate the future, and the future he describes isn't very pleasant, but I think we've got to begin making the preparation for times like that, which is why we keep telling people, make your preparations now, don't wait. Hey, thanks so much for calling.
Amen. God bless.
Bye-bye. Okay, let's go to Charles, who's calling from Harlem. Hi, Charles. Are you there?
Yes, I am. Hi, Dr. Stan.
Okay, good to hear from you. Have any question or comment?
Yes, I do. Comment first.
Hey, it sounds like you're in a barrel. Are you on a regular hardline telephone?
Yeah, I got it bad. Let me try this.
All right.
This looks a little better?
Yeah, that's much better.
Okay. First, comment on your caller from Seal Beach.
Right.
I believe. And I was just a little curious, and you kind of hit the nail on the head as to why the person would take the interview and then later on decide to erase the information off of the audio. And I was just concerned about, why go through such hard work and put so much due diligence into this and then all of a sudden just erase it. So I just was concerned about that. Obviously, it's just a comment. But the question I have is rumors are flying around about retired military being recalled. Have you heard anything about that?
No, I really haven't. Maybe you can bring us abreast of that. I'm sure the idea is that they're bringing them back because they're expecting civilian unrest in America. And it may very well be that in a few years we will have, a few months, we will have increasing unrest as the number of people without jobs and who face an uncertain future increases, and people are really desperate for food or for, save their homes or their families. So I think that we're going to be facing very uncertain times.
Okay, now one more question, and thank you for that. We know in Iran, Ahmadinejad is just a figurehead. He is not the guy. Yet and still, they always have us focused on what Ahmadinejad said or did. You understand that the Ayatollahs run the show in the back room there in Iran. And I'm just a little perplexed as to how we, and I understand the media, mainstream media, cook the books, so, you know, so I understand that. But why is it that we never have any open dialogue with these guys? I know we have back channel dialogue with the Ayatollahs who run Iran. We never have anything else. Do the Ayatollahs want to see things precipitate? Because
no,
they're
no,
so quiet.
No, no, basically they've repeatedly asked for conferences. And I think that with Obama, we may very well get them. I hope and pray that we will, because the last thing we want to do is get involved in a major war in the Middle East. So we're just going to have to wait and see how it unfolds. But Obama has already said that he wants to have unconditional talks with the leaders of Iran, which we should have done a long time ago.
Okay, and my last and final question. It's pretty inflammatory. Our news decides to get everyone who loves Obama involved with a story of Al Qaeda insulting Barack Obama and saying he's no Malcolm X and that whole thing. He's no benevolent black man. And I'm sure that would probably rile people up who are supporters of Obama. What do you make of that? What do they hope to gain by?
I really can't tell you. I haven't thought it through at the present time, but I will tell you that I never believe anything I read in the newspapers. I even like to count the pages to make sure the page numbers are right. God bless. Thanks so much, Charles.
Bye-bye.
Let's go to, and I'm not sure, is this Mark from Ohio?
Yes.
Okay, fine, because they've spelled your name with a Z up on the board. I'm sure that's M-A-R-K from Ohio. Yes. What part of Ohio are you from?
Central Ohio.
Okay, very good. Are you listening to us there at the station in Cincinnati? Or?
No, I pick you up there on shortwave 5875.
Okay, very good. It's good to have you with us. Do you have a question or comment?
Yeah, about four callers ago, there was a man, he talked about theosophy, it got brought up, theosophy, and you had talked earlier and even earlier today on another hourly or another show you had on at 6 o'clock, I think, about the way Christianity is basically being dismantled, if you will. It's being changed. And I just wanted to give one example from personal experience of how theosophy has crept into the church. Now, Marina Del Rey, California, you know that place.
Sure.
That's the home city of Divorce Company Publishing. They used to bill themselves as metaphysical capital of the world, and they publish New Age books, which I'm sure they use it. Still use the word Theosophical Society on their in some of their titles or some of their book divisions, whatever. There was a woman in 1952 by the name of Annalise Guerin. She wrote a book called Ye Are Gods with under the Theosophical banner. And she became very influential, and she was known as an immortalist. She believed that people wouldn't die. Well, in 1972, a missionary returning from China who had just gotten divorced from her husband because she basically wouldn't stay home with her husband and raise the kids in China. She went out on her own. This woman, her name was Gwen Shaw, she picked up one of these books, and she became heavily influenced by him. Ended up incorporating those writings into a book of hers called Love, the Law of the Angels. This woman, not well known really, but she founded an organization called End Time Handmaidens and Servants. It's it's branched out all over the world. A lot of the Pentecostal and charismatic leaders have read her books, like C. Peter Wagner, Ted Haggard, Cindy Jacobs, Benny Hinn. Benny Hinn's wife, Suzanne, is a member of this group. You have to do a 21-day fast on liquids to join. And now her books have influenced these people in a subtle way, and basically through like 2 to 3 generations or 2 to 3 steps, you've gotten theosophical writings have crept into the charismatic movement subtly. I know that personally because Gwen Shaw is the leader of the cult End Time Handmaidens. I used to be a part of that cult. I worked at their headquarters. And it's just one example of how Christianity is being polluted from without and from within and it's totally changing. I believe it was the theosophists, Madame Blavatsky and others in the late 1800s, they said for the world to change, Christianity must change.
And I think you're absolutely right, Mark, and I agree with everything you say, and I think that we just have to sound the alarm. It's not only that they're going to infiltrate the church, they have infiltrated the church. Remember Ted Haggard, head of the 30 million member National Association of Evangelical Christians. And this man was a homosexual, he was a drug user. I didn't realize he was in the occult, but I'm not surprised, because the common denominator behind so much of what's going on and homosexuality is the occult. And it's simply a revolt against God and his plan for mankind. Here we're going to have to run, but God bless. Thanks so much for bringing that up. And let's go to Ken, who's calling from, is this Ken from New York?
That's it, Doc. Good evening.
Oh, good night. Good evening. What part of New York are you from?
Bronx.
Okay, very good. Well, you must be listening. We don't have a station there, so you're shortwave or internet?
Shortwave.
Okay, very good.
Coming in clear.
Great.
30 degrees also here in the city right now.
All right, fine. Would you have a question or comment?
Yeah, I had some great calls tonight so far, and the one I found most interesting was about the interview with the theosophist.
I wish, of course, we had the original taped copy of that. Everything, of course, the answers that were given sound very accurate, but you never want to destroy anything like that, which could have eternal value.
Absolutely.
Anything else you'd like to say?
Well, just, I was going to talk about something else, but that kind of sidetracked me, so...
Okay, go right ahead.
You cited Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
Okay.
And... That's my second favorite film of all time, and it was serialized in Collier's magazine. Jack Finney, I believe, was the author of the story. And now he claims that the lead character in the film and in the story is named after this theosophist.
Right.
Now, if that's true, do you know, is there any background to Jack Finney, any kind of a cult?
I don't know anything at all about him. You know, I'll have to admit, I don't know the story. I've heard of it, but I've never actually read the book or seen the motion picture.
Well, I definitely recommend the picture. Kevin McCarthy and Donna Winter are the leads, and there's still a lot of debate as to actually what Jack Finney is trying to tell us.
Well, of course, there is usually a message in a film. Sometimes you can figure it out, sometimes you can't, but everything you see or read or hear is indelibly implanted in your subconscious. And believe me, that there is this battle between good and evil, and we've got to recognize it and try to ascertain what they're really saying. Hey, thanks very much for calling. Anything you want to say?
Oh, sure.
Hold on. We'll be right back. Okay, Ken, go right ahead.
No, I met Kevin McCarthy once a few years ago in Hollywood, North Hollywood, at a convention, and I asked him.
I know what it's like to lay awake at night and worry about mounting credit card debt, that nagging feeling in the pit of your stomach that just won't go away, and the phone calls from collectors. Forget about it. Then I called Help You Out of Debt. Their professional staff of debt mediators were able to help me get my upside-down finances back on track and help stop the phone call. My Help You Out of Debt settlement specialist understood exactly what I was going through. My specialist was able to get creditors off my back, negotiate huge reductions on most of my balances, and help me fight back against the credit card companies. Help You Out of Debt specialists are experts in debt mediation and settlement. They are on your side. They've helped thousands of people just like me and can help you too. Call now and get a free debt review. If you're $10,000 or more in credit card or unsecured debt and ready to start fighting back, call 866-374-3101 and get your free debt review. That's 866-374-3101 or on the web at helpyououtofdebt.com. 866-374-3101.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family
from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-.
Well, not just illegal immigration, predominantly illegal and also third world, non-white, non-European people that could be hostile toward white European culture.
Well, let me explain to you why they want to do that. We actually have a talk, unfortunately, it didn't turn out quite as I wanted it to.
Okay.
But one of these days we'll redo that, and because we've got a great syllabus.
Right, and talk with who?
Well, it was just an address to a group of people. The reason that they want to bring in people both legally and illegally is because they have no loyalty to America.
Yeah.
They believe that we should be a one world, that they want to, of course, call it a multiple lingual, multiracial, multicultural society. They don't want uniformity, as they have, predominantly in Switzerland and a few other places we had here. They want, of course, merges into this one world system. That
and every country that did that, they fell. You know, even Rome. Rome didn't fall from sex and decadence. That's not what they fell from. They fell from worthless money, which in those days it wasn't paper. It was they made it into worthless bronze tokens that used to be gold and silver. Secondly, excessive taxation, and thirdly, which a talk show host named Bob Grant, and he's right. He reads Roman history. He's Italian. From all this massive integration of all these other cultures, and it just fell. It just fell apart. And now there's a guy. If you go to Frosty Woolrich, you might have had him on your show.
Sure, he's
a very good guy. He said that a governor of this country, I think his name was Governor Lamb. I don't know if he's a governor.
In fact, we actually have one of my the newsletters actually takes Governor Lamb's statement and
reduplicates it. He said that would make a... But as far as them rioting, I don't know if all of them would riot.
Well, let's hope that I'm wrong. We're out of time.
What if it came out that he was not a natural-born citizen?
Heinrich, we're out of time.
All right, let's
but
go.
God bless. Call in next week, okay?
Okay, take care.
Right. That was Heinrich calling from New England, and let's hope that that we don't have any riots or civilian unrest, and I don't know what's going to happen with this effort to force Barack Obama to come up with a legal birth certificate. He has a certificate of birth, but not a birth certificate, and of course, there's a serious question. If this is a forgery, all he has to do is come up with a legal one that could be ascertained legally, and that'll settle the question. I don't think he's going to be able to, however. So then what's going to happen? And this may be all part of a long-range plan to lead to civilian unrest in this country. We'll just have to wait and see and hope and pray that Heinrich is right and that I'm wrong as far as the unrest here. Well, this is the time when I need to remind our listeners out across America that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported. And if you're in a position to help us maintain our network of outlets across America, and we have over 60 outlets now every week, we'd love to hear from you. And then, of course, we'd want to remind you, if you have not laid in your supply of long-term storage food, and of course, we work with Ready Reserve, and they actually use double-layered cans, and they actually dehydrate things and then pack them in nitrogen. I will tell you one thing, and that is the prices have actually come down. If you have a price list, you can call in. We'll give you the proper prices on these things. Lay in a long-term supply of food. Get yourself a Big Berkey or a Berkey Life water filter. and purifier, and then, of course, lay in a supply of the health products that you really need to have. And if you want to get catalogs that list all of these things, why, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. And then remember the one thing, and that is we're involved in a spiritual battle being played out on a political and ideological and cultural and financial and educational battlefield. And make sure you have a personal relationship with the Lord. And as if you have not yet seen Pastor Billy Crone's excellent series, The Final Countdown, the 10 DVDs, Part 1, Part 2, you want to get that. And then, of course, please pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for our leaders and ministers. But please pray for Radio Liberty, for our vision and our protection. And we'll be back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Dr. Garth Nicholson, and we're going to be talking about the report that was just released this week, a congressional report, going into the background of the Gulf War illness. And what the report said, in essence, is that the Gulf War illness is accurate. It's a real. Approximately 175,000 of the veterans who came back from the first Gulf War, of the 600,000 that we sent over there, about almost a quarter or maybe more of the men who came back really are ill, and they have been ill, and the government has been saying they aren't ill, but the entity is very real. It involves headaches, and it involves mental cloudiness and all sorts of mental problems as far as the ability to coordinate your thoughts. It has to do with skin rashes. It has to do with GI upset. It has to do with chronic fatigue, multiple system involvement. But then they came up with a very, very peculiar conclusion. And they said, well, the most likely cause of this was probably the pesticides or the insecticides that were used over there. And they seemed to play down the exposure to poison gas. Of course, they were exposed to poison gas, but they have totally denied the infectious component to that, and that our people got out of the vaccines that were contaminated with a mycoplasm, apparently a genetically modified mycoplasm. But certainly, one of the experts on this subject is our special guest this evening, Dr. Garth Nicholson. Thanks very much for being with us.
Thanks for having me on again. It's a pleasure to be on your program.
Well, why don't you just go ahead and tell us the story?
Well, as you know, there was a report issued on the health of Gulf War veterans. And, in fact, I went through the report, and I was very interested to see what they had on infectious diseases because, as you know, we found that that was a key component probably obtained from the vaccines. And they really presented very little about the infectious disease and very little about the vaccines, except to acknowledge that there were epidemiologic studies indicating that the multiple military vaccines were associated with Gulf War illness in a very positive and statistically significant way. They primarily pointed or directed attention to the multiple chemicals that the Gulf War veterans were exposed to, and they really concentrated very heavily on that. And indeed, that was a very important aspect of exposure of these Gulf War veterans. But we were very interested to find out about the infectious diseases because we found that family members were getting sick. In fact, there was one government study indicating that about 65% of family members were getting sick with similar signs and symptoms to the Gulf War veterans, spouses and children in particular. And so we were very interested in that because it had to be biological. So in our studies, we focused on that, the family members and also the veterans, and we found that about 42 to 45% of Gulf War veterans had a very unusual infection, Mycoplasma fermentans. This is an infection that was primarily studied by the U.S. Army. In fact, they hold the patent on this infection. And so, you know, it might be that they were trying to deflect away information on this because it smacked of a friendly fire type of exposure. But right. It did acknowledge that in terms of the chemicals, like the PB pills that were given to the soldiers to protect them against the chemical warfare agents, and the multiple chemicals that were used to suppress, for example...
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment. Garth, you go right ahead.
I think, you know, I was explaining the fact that there were multiple causes, we feel, to Gulf War illness, and that's kind of acknowledged in the report, but they really have tried to avoid the biological issue, and the primary reason for that is that we feel it might be a friendly fire problem, that the biologicals, the infections primarily, were probably obtained, for the most part, in the vaccines that the military personnel received during deployment. Most of these personnel received between 20 and 30 vaccinations within a three-day period during deployment, and that's extremely harmful. It's very immunosuppressive, and if there are any contaminations or any contaminants in the vaccines, then since the personnel were immunosuppressed, then they would have a good chance of taking hold, and that's what we think happened, and they just don't want to acknowledge that at all. So they try and point away from that towards the multiple chemical exposures and their involvement. But we know that there was a problem with the military vaccines because they've, since the first Gulf War and the second Iraqi conflict, they tried to clean that up, first by changing the regimen of inoculation. They now spread out the inoculations over 6 months instead of 3 days to try and prevent this immune suppression. They were much more careful about the vaccines that they used and everything, but there were still casualties, not at the same number. Not one-fourth of the personnel came down sick after the second Gulf War, but there were still a sizable number, we're not sure how many, that became ill, and we think directly because of the vaccine. So I think there's been some improvement here, and I think the most important improvement is that they finally acknowledged once and for all that this is a problem and that now veterans can get compensation and perhaps even get treatment for their problems. And I think that's the biggest thing, because for years they were trying to avoid the fact that there was any problem with the Gulf War, that there were any casualties from the Gulf War, and in particular that these chronic illnesses that the press was calling Gulf War syndrome were really not post-traumatic stress disorder. They were really caused by these chemical and biological exposures from service in the Gulf, theater of operations. So we have made some progress.
Well, I think that it really is a tragic situation that these young men for a period of almost 17 years have been claimed that they were post-traumatic stress, or they were crazy, or it was imaginary, or they were malingering, and how discouraging that would be. You're talking about, what is it, 170,000? Do you remember the exact figure?
Well, they're approximately 250,000 that are registered.
Oh, hold that thought. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess this evening is Dr. Garth Nicholson. We're talking about the report that came out this week. It's supposedly a congressional report of putting to rest this idea that there is no Gulf War illness related to the first Gulf War, pointing out that there, you know, were many, many of the boys. They said about a quarter of the men who came back. I think it probably was more than that. But at least a quarter of the people who came back from the first Gulf War have been permanently incapacitated or permanently damaged, and they have the multiple symptoms involving this Gulf War illness, which the Veterans Administration and the government has spent over $300 million covering up and lying to the public and saying that it doesn't exist. And now this report has come out, and having reviewed everything, has at least acknowledged that the illness is real, although as far as the cause is concerned, they've said, well, this is most probably, and then they mention the insecticides and the pesticides that were given to the veterans. No mention at all of the vaccines, their program of giving massive numbers of vaccines within just a day or two, which would massively, of course, decrease the immune response. It's just terribly immunosuppressive and would leave these young men open to all sorts of infections, specifically this mycoplasma. What percentage of the population that you investigated, the people with the Gulf War illness, what percentage of them had this genetically engineered mycoplasma in it?
Well, we examined approximately 1,600 Gulf War veterans, and we found about 42 to 43% had this infection. And in the case where the families became sick, it was more like 80 or 90% of them had the infection. And so there we were very sure that and we could conclude that the veterans' family members that became sick after the veterans returned home with the similar signs and symptoms, at least in the adults, were due to the passage, the transmission of this infection, this Mycoplasma fermentans infection, to the family members. Now, there's an interesting aspect of this whole story, and that's the children in these families, because often the children were diagnosed with autistic spectrum disorders. And as you know, these are behavioral disorders, often the repetitive behavior, inability to concentrate or to focus. Interactions with other children and adults are impaired, and there's extreme sensitivity to various sensory things like sound, touch, so on and so forth. So these children have very unusual behavior patterns, and what we found was that when we examined the Gulf War families, there was a very high incidence of the infection, particularly in the symptomatic family members and the children with these autistic spectrum disorders. So we decided, well, if that's the case, then we should be able to see this in the civilian population. And the same thing with the adults. There should be a counterpart illness in the civilian population, and we should be able to find similar infections there. And sure enough, in the adults that are primarily diagnosed with chronic fatigue syndrome in these Gulf War families, and have the Mycoplasma fermentans in the civilian population, patients with a diagnosis of chronic fatigue syndrome, over half of them have infections, mycoplasmal infections, but they don't have the same specific infection that we found in the Gulf War veterans. It turns out they have a variety of species of mycoplasma, and they have other infections as well, so it's a little more complex. But again, very similar to what we found in the Gulf War veterans and their family members. In the children, when we examine autistic spectrum disorder patients in the general population, in fact, we did a group from Northern California, and there's a group primarily from San Luis Obispo County, we found that the majority of these children, again, showed, similar to the Gulf War veterans' families, evidence of mycoplasmal infections, but not the same type of mycoplasma that we found in the veterans' families. So, again, it all fits together that there's a very high incidence of this infection, not only in the veterans, but in the family members that became sick, and that we feel that this really was important in causing not only Gulf War illness, but in causing illnesses in the families as well.
I remember, Chris, that infection in the families of the Gulf War veterans, where the wife was infected. A wife, Chris, I think the Regal Report came out and had that high figure. It was at 60 or 70%, as you commented. The Rockefeller Committee report, which we do offer through our, we call it the Rockefeller Committee report. It's actually the report of the Veterans Administration on the Gulf War illness. But they said about 40% of the wives of the veterans who were suffering from the Gulf War illness themselves were infected. So that, you know, certainly there's no way you could explain that other than by an infectious origin of the disease. And the tragedy is everything has been done and is still being done to this very day to conceal that information from the American people. It's amazing how these cover-ups work and how the entire media will go right along and, of course, maintain the coverage, maintain the secrecy. You cannot let the American people know that there is this infectious disease that has been unleashed in our population. And I'm sure I talked to one doctor who himself, and then his wife, he took care of the Gulf War veterans. He came down with the disease. His wife came down with the disease. And we even have an interview with him and did many years ago when we were talking about the Gulf War illness. And Chris was only with long-term antibiotics that he was able to cure himself and his wife and return to medical practice. But so what part of the general or segment of the general population that did not have any symptoms would have these chronic mycoplasma infections of one sort or another? Do we have any idea?
Well, we have some idea looking at controlled patient populations, and it's around 5%, which may be carriers, or they may be people that have subclinical signs and symptoms. They may have something minor that's bothering them, but they don't really have the full-blown signs and symptoms that we see with highly symptomatic patients. It's very interesting that if you look at a species like Mycoplasma fermentans, now it's down to about 1%, certainly no more than 2% in the general population that are positive. So we also did control studies with children, age-match-pair studies. And again, it's a very low incidence in the non-symptomatic children that have these. Although one of the most common reasons for atypical pneumonia in children is a mycoplasmal infection, so it's not uncommon. And in fact, in military recruits, this has been known for some time that one of the most common reasons for pneumonia in recruits is a mycoplasmal infection. So
has that always been the case, Garth? I remember, Chris, I'd never heard of this, the mycoplasma pneumonia, until I came back from Africa about 1978 after being teaching in medical school over there. And suddenly, you know, going to the medical grand rounds, I'm hearing about this mycoplasma atypical pneumonia, which I'd never heard of before. Did this exist before and we didn't know the cause of it, or is this a relatively new entity?
Well, of course, in those days, we didn't really know what was causing most pneumonia cases, so I think it did exist before, and it's been around a long time. I think these organisms have been around a long time, and as you know, because I came up and lectured to your people at your annual meeting, that now we know in neurodegenerative diseases that it's very important. And in fact, the Gulf War veterans have a very high incidence of Lou Gehrig's disease, or ALS, or amyotrophic lateral sclerosis. And in that case, we found 100% of these patients, and we looked at the Canadian, British, American, and Australian veterans. Every one of them had this mycoplasmal infection. So we do know that it's very high incidence in civilians with ALS. For example, it's 85% have the infection. So we know it's important in ALS. We know it's important in MS. About half the multiple sclerosis patients have the infection. Some of the other neurodegenerative diseases as well, like Parkinson's and Alzheimer's, these types of infections are very commonly found. So I think it's an important feature of these neurodegenerative diseases as well. So we know in rheumatoid arthritis that half the patients have mycoplasmal infections. And that was been known actually for a long time. Dr. Brown many years ago had published his own studies where they just simply looked at at the morphology of joints and so on, and found that these unusual particles that they surmised were mycoplasma were present in the joints. And we went on and proved that they have systemic mycoplasmal infections, that is system-wide infections in rheumatoid arthritis and other diseases. So I think it's really become much more widespread than we ever anticipated and that the medical community ever anticipated a few years ago.
Well, you know, certainly Dr. Brown had treated his patients, rheumatoid arthritis patients, those with mycoplasma, with antibiotics, and many of them improved. Is anybody, of course, doing that today, treating patients with either rheumatoid arthritis or with ALS or multiple sclerosis with antibiotics?
Well, there's a group of physicians supported by a foundation called the Road Back Foundation, which is primarily involved in arthritis research and support. And these are physicians associated with this organization that do treat with antibiotics. And so this has been around for a long time. So there is a group that knows about these types of infections and knows how to treat it and has been treating it with long-term antibiotics for some time. So it's been around, but it's not a part of mainstream medicine.
And that's really such a tragedy. And until the doctors can begin to get this information, although certainly Dr. Nicholson is certainly one of the most widely published scientists in the world, why, of course, his articles aren't necessarily getting key billing in the sort of journal that an orthopedist or a rheumatologist might read. But they should, and I've talked to our local neurologist about the possibility of treating ALS patients. You've got nothing else really to offer them, anterior lateral sclerosis or Lou Gehrig's disease. You've got nothing to offer them. Has anybody tried treating the? I know you treated a number of them for a time, didn't you, with the ALS with antibiotics, and they did get better?
Well, we did have a trial, and unfortunately we had to end the trial because we ran out of funding.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here. At Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Dr. Garth Nicholson. We're talking about, of course, the treatment of...
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold, self
mediators were able to help me get my upside-down finances back on track and help stop the phone call. My help you out of debt settlement specialist understood exactly what I was going through. My specialist was able to get creditors off my back, negotiate huge reductions on most of my balances, and help me fight back against the credit card companies. Help You Out of Debt specialists are experts in debt mediation and settlement. They are on your side. They've helped thousands of people just like me and can help you too. Call now and get a free debt review. If you're $10,000 or more in credit card or unsecured debt and ready to start fighting back, call 866-374-3101 and get your free debt review. That's 866-374-3101 or on the web at helpyououtofdebt.com. 866-374-3101.
Unfortunately, I fear that most of us don't eat as we should. They don't eat all the fruits and vegetables and other things that contain the things that really are designed to keep us healthy. Would that be a fair statement?
Well, I think there are a number of things that we can do to not only improve our health but to make our immune systems more resilient to these infections, and particularly these airborne infections that can cause a lot of problems. For example, we were talking about the mycoplasma. This turns out to be an important co-infection in a number of very, very important diseases that we have spreading in our population right now, including Lyme disease, for example, HIV/AIDS, and other different diseases. I mentioned the neurodegenerative diseases and so on. So these are important as cofactors, or in some cases even as the standalone causative agents in a number of these diseases. So it's very important not only for people to recognize this, but also to recognize how they can avoid this if possible.
Well, now, as far as the autistic children, that is really one of the most interesting aspects of the things we've talked about this evening. The fact that many of the autistic children do have these chronic infections, and certainly can be mycoplasma. It can also be what the chlamydia, the brucella, the brucellosis, all of these other things can involve them.
Yes, I mean they're very similar. For example, we found that about 10% of chronic fatigue syndrome patients, and it's particularly those in rural areas where there's a lot of livestock, do pick up brucellosis. Brucella infections, and this can lead to chronic fatigue syndrome and fibromyalgia syndrome. These infections, like the mycoplasma, can get inside our tissues and cells and cause a lot of havoc and problems. So we know that there are other infections as well that are very important. We mentioned the Lyme Borrelia, and along with that Lyme Borrelia, there are a whole host of co-infections, the mycoplasma being the most prominent, found in the overwhelming majority of Lyme disease patients, and then there's also Babesia, Bartonella, Ehrlichia, and all these other co-infections that are present in these Lyme patients. And this is one of the reasons why Lyme disease is so difficult to treat. It not only has intracellular infections caused by spirochetes and mycoplasma and so on, but all these other related infections as well, and they do cause very complex signs and symptoms and require a number of different approaches to treatment.
All right, and of course, these are the people that really, of course, they have mitochondrial disease, and there's real defects in the mitochondria.
Well, whenever these intracellular infections are present inside cells, they release toxic materials that do cause damage to the mitochondria. And one of these sort of mechanisms we've been very interested in, because we've been interested in loss of mitochondrial function, because in all these diseases that I've mentioned, the fatiguing illnesses, the neurodegenerative diseases, the autistic spectrum disorders, and so on and so forth, all show mitochondrial dysfunction, and this, of course, leads to fatigue. When your mitochondria, the little batteries inside your cells, get run down and can't produce the amount of energy necessary to maintain cell function, then this is manifested as fatigue on a system-wide level. And so we think that that's a very important aspect of all these chronic illnesses. So we've been very interested in how can we repair the mitochondria and reverse that loss of function of mitochondria.
And, of course, there is a product we've talked about, in the what is it called, ProPax, something of the sort?
Well, ProPax is a mixture of the important lipid replacement therapy product, which is called NT Factor. And in, we usually prescribe it, as we've done with U.S. Navy SEALs in Afghanistan that are at high altitude, in a vitamin mineral mixture called ProPax. And there the NT factor is present as one of the supplements in these packages. And it's very interesting that if you take these normal protected lipids, your system will slowly replace the damaged lipids in the mitochondria that cause the leakiness of the membranes and the rundown of the oxidative phosphorylation of the mitochondria, which is produces the energy, high-energy molecules that every cell needs. So very slowly over time, you can replace these damaged lipids with the lipids that aren't damaged and then return the function to normal. And then we've actually done 3 or 4 clinical trials on this, and we've used different groups of people. In one trial, we used elderly people, usually 70 to 90 years of age, and in that case, they lose about half their mitochondrial function as a normal aspect of aging. We use chronic fatigue syndrome and fibromyalgia patients.
Now hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment with Dr. Garth Nicholson. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here. Our guest is Dr. Garth Nicholson. We're talking about certainly the defects in the mitochondria and the elderly, because that's in my age group. And of course, people get chronic fatigue. But if you replace the lipids and the other the antioxidants, the things that they need, do a significant number of the elderly get better? What actually happened when you ran some studies on them?
We found about a 35% increase in energy or decrease in fatigue, any way you want to measure it, in these elderly patients. And in the chronic fatigue syndrome and fibromyalgia syndrome, we found a 44% increase in energy in these patient groups. So we do know that it was very effective in decreasing the amount of fatigue that these people had. And so that was just a very simple thing that people can do. These are over-the-counter products that people can purchase. They can find more information about this on our website at the Institute for Molecular Medicine, which is www.immed.org. It's like a media.org. And there they can find not only information about these chronic infections that we've been discussing, but also information on the type of supplements like NT Factor that can be purchased and used to improve your health, improve your mitochondrial function, and improve your energy levels, and so on. So there are a lot of things that people can do that will help improve their health, help maintain their immune system. We even have information about diets and the proper diets that people should be using if they have some of these chronic illnesses and so on. So we often start with diet, and then we move in with some of these supplements to improve mitochondrial function, to improve immune function, and so on. And then there's some which are natural remedies. And then finally we get to the point where, in the case of certain specific infections, where antibiotics or antivirals or antifungals are necessary to suppress the infection. So that kind of information can be found on our website. So your viewers, I know, or your listeners, I know, many of them have heard this before, but they can find that on our website.
Well, now, what about the children with autistic spectrum disorders? Has anybody tried various treatments on them that to try to reverse these chronic infections and build up their immune system? And has it helped?
Yes, it has. And most of these autistic spectrum disorder patients, again, have multiple problems, just practically like all chronic illness patients. They have problems with heavy metals, they have problems with chemicals, they have problems with infections. Those are the three major areas where they do have problems.
Hold that thought, we'll be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. We were just talking about the autistic spectrum disorder children, and of course, many of them have multiple problems. They have, of course, problems with chronic chemical disorders, and then they have the chronic infections, and then the nutritional problems. But before we get any further, I'd like to ask Dr. Nicholson once again to give out your website so that everybody will know how they can get the information that you have there on that website.
www.immed.org. It's like a media.org.
All right, fine. There's all sorts of information there on dealing with the chronic infections and what you can do to help yourself. Information that's vitally important for the average person to have. If you're out there in the listening audience and you have a question for Dr. Nicholson, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. That's 464-8295. And certainly we started out the evening talking about the recent reports just released this week, something like 450 pages on the Gulf War illness that said, definitively, there is a real entity out there. These people are not feigning disease. They're not malingerers. It's not post-traumatic stress. This is a real clinical disorder. And then they came up with a rather bizarre statement that it's most probably caused by pesticides or insecticides, totally ignoring the fact that the spouses of many of the people who came down with the disease got the condition, which means it has to be infectious, and Of course, the first time I'd really thought about it, even spreading into the children of the Gulf War veterans and destroying the lives of the children, many of whom, or at least a significant number of them, were autistic. And I think that that was such a fascinating part of this. And that, of course, led Dr. Nicholson into looking into autistic children. And he found that many of the autistic children, I mean, certainly they may very well have had their immune system altered by the mercury that they got, or by the aluminum they got in the vaccines, or the other heavy metal or poisoning that they had incurred. But, of course, they were much more susceptible to these other chronic infections. Is anybody, doing any work with the autistic children, trying to help them and clear up their infections, get rid of the metals and the other poisons that have set them up for this terrible disorder?
Well, I think this has to happen in stages, and unfortunately, with the general medical community, this happens very slowly. And I think that the first stage is that the final recognition that autistic children do have problems with heavy metal and chemical exposures. They haven't quite gotten to the point where chronic infections are a problem, but it's happening. In particular, there's now recognition that Lyme disease could be a contributor to autistic children. And so in our studies, it turns out that Lyme disease is an important factor, at least in a subset of autistic cases. And so I think it's going to be finally recognized through the Lyme studies on Lyme disease that some of these other infections are also important.
And I think it's so vitally important that people really begin to look in this and understand we have we're talking about millions of Americans with these chronic disorders. Some of them are manifested as neurologic, some of them are manifested as arthritic, as some of them are manifested as chronic fatigue or certainly as a fibromyalgia, but they all seem to tie in more or less together to these a group of chronic infections. And I will tell you, we actually have a DVD that Dr. Garth Nicholson's talk about a year ago. We just call it Terrible New Diseases, but I don't know if that was a good title or not, but that's the title we put on it. But a wonderful presentation, and it is available through Radio Liberty along with a slide presentation. And of course, Dr. Nicholson's talk, which give you tremendous insight into the fact that it's not one infection, but multiple infections that are disabling. How many people, what percentage of our population do you think actually has these chronic infections and are disabled by them?
Well, we just don't know. I mean, this is part of the problem, is that the mainstream medical community is just beginning to recognize that this is a problem. And I guess the hallmark of that was I was asked recently to review this whole area for the most important laboratory pathology journal in the world, titled Laboratory Medicine. So I wrote a review on this topic area, and it will be, in fact, it's now posted on our website, or will be shortly. And if it's not there, people can just send me an email. I'll be glad to send them a reprint of it. But this is the first time in which I think a major medical journal has really asked someone like myself to review this area. So it's beginning to sink in.
Well, let's hope it does, because, of course, there's so many people. I mean, we're talking about millions and millions of Americans with these chronic diseases. Well, do you mind asking, responding to some of our callers?
No, not at all.
Well, we've got Lorraine calling from Litchfield, New York. Hi, Lorraine. How are you doing?
I'm okay. How are you?
Doing just fine, thanks. Where's Litchfield? I don't know that. Is it upstate New York?
It's near Utica, New York.
Okay, fine. So you're listening to us on the big station up there in Utica?
101.9 FM.
Right, great.
Well,
it's a great station up there. Unfortunately, it's a little late, so we don't have everybody there here in the program, but we're grateful to be there. And so anyway, do you have a question or comment for our guest?
Yes. My father's been in and out of the hospital in rehab with a staph infection for a couple of months, and my mother has a staph infection in her foot that's been going on for close to a couple years. And she's also got rheumatoid arthritis, gout, memory loss, Raynaud's disease, fibromyalgia. And I just wondered if this infection that Dr. Nicholson is talking about might pertain to her to my father.
Well, it could. It certainly could. Often people with staph infections also have co-infections.
Have what?
FNAP will of course, if it's widespread, systemic, affect the immune system. So that's a possibility. There's also a form of staph infection.
I mean, the staph infection in my father was in his blood, in his heart, it's in his discs.
Yes, and that's a very serious condition.
And they keep pumping him full of antibiotics on top of antibiotics on top of antibiotics. And
well, you know, there is a resistant, antibiotic-resistant form of Staphylococcus aureus.
Well, they said that it's the garden-type variety, but I don't know. I'm beginning to wonder.
Well, unfortunately, many of these forms of Staphylococcus aureus and other species of Staphylococcus can be picked up while in a hospital or in a clinical setting. And unfortunately, those, because they're in a clinical setting, are often much more difficult to treat because they've been through patients that have been on antibiotics, and so they become antibiotic resistant over time.
Mm-hmm.
This is often, if they're picked up in hospitals or so on, this hospital-acquired staph infections are very difficult to treat because they've been through people that have been on antibiotics, and so they're often antibiotic resistant.
And I think that, of course, Lorraine, having been a physician for many years and been in the position of having my patients get these chronic infections and calling in the infectious disease specialist, and they come up with a series of various antibiotic cocktails, but nobody ever talks about vitamins and minerals and trying to build up the rest of the general help, build up the immune response, so you're not totally dependent upon the antibiotics, because the antibiotics can only do so much, but if you don't have an immune response, you're not going to get well.
Mm-hmm.
Would you agree with that, Dr. Dick?
Well, absolutely. I mean, as we were discussing before, one of the important aspects that we try and instill in the patients that come to us for assistance is the fact they have to change their diet, they have to take some of these supplements to improve their health, improve their immune system, improve their...
Which, when you're in rehab and in the hospitals, you're very limited as to being able to do much of that.
Now you're going to have to sneak them in, I hate to say that, but you're going to have to look, and you need to go to Dr. Nicholson's website and look and see what he's written there, and start thinking about the alternatives. Certainly the diet is so important, and there are other things that can actually help.
Vitamin D deficiency allows the body to get infected, right?
You're absolutely right. In fact, it's increasingly obvious that vitamin D plays an important part in our immune response, and one reason it's hypothesized that we see so many colds and influenza in the winter is because we're not getting out in the sun and our body is not manufacturing the vitamin D. Dr. Nicholson, do you think there's any truth to that?
Yes, I do. In fact, there are probably a number of different vitamins and cofactors and so on that are very important in immune system maintenance. And if you really don't take these supplements or factors, then your immune system is not operating at optimal level. And so I think...
And it needs to be a natural vitamin D, not the synthetic, because that can actually harm you.
No, I think that you can get good synthetic vitamin Ds. It'd be nice if you could get, you know, out in the sun, but you're probably not...
I went online and researched the synthetic, and I don't remember the term that it said. There was something in the synthetic that one part of it would come over and help something, but then what was left was harmful.
Well, do you have any thoughts on that, Dr. Nicholson?
Well, the problem is that whenever you make a synthetic vitamin or any other type of supplement, it's not all natural. There are impurities that are normally there as a byproduct of the process. And sometimes those impurities themselves will circumvent the substance that you're trying to put in. So you have to remember that.
But I will tell you, Lorraine, there's an organized effort to discredit vitamin D because it is effective. And there really are people, in my estimation, who have a different agenda. So do not believe everything you read on the Internet. Know the source, and you can depend upon Dr.
Well, no, they were just saying the synthetic vitamin D, you need the natural.
Right, okay,
they were
fine.
Saying you need the vitamin D, but you need to do the natural.
Right, of course, where are you going to get the sun in the winter time? Anyway, thanks very much for calling. And let's go to Claudia, who's calling from Michigan. Hi, Claudia.
Hi, doctors, and thank you both so much for what you do. I tuned in late tonight, so I missed the website, first of all, and if you could give that again. And the other question I had, because I don't know if you've discussed it, I had heard previously that something to do with silver, I don't know if it's colloidal silver or some type of silver,
right,
is also good for curing infections.
All right, fine. I think that those are that is a very important question. I'll be glad to know what Dr. Nicholson says about colloidal silver. But the website is immed.org. That's immed.org, like immediate.org. But then the second question is, what about colloidal silver? You know, Dr. Nicholson, a lot of people, a lot of conservatives are taking colloidal silver every day because silver is a wonderful antibiotic when you put it on the skin. But what about when you take it internally? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, there's a lot of controversy on this. In fact, in our initial studies, we didn't really find much of an effect of colloidal silver, but there's the argument that, well, there's colloidal silver and then there's effective colloidal silver, and you have to have the very small particles and freshly made and all this other stuff, but I'm not sure. It may have certain uses, for example, topical uses, as you mentioned, gargles for oral use, for example, inhalation use and so on. But some of the people that have come to us that have been on long-term colloidal silver and had the silver build up under their skin, and it actually turns their skin a different color, and so I don't think it's anything like this is good long-term, so I think it can be used on a temporary basis, but long-term usage, unless it's very natural, I just don't like it.
Claudia, I've had several people come to me and want to advertise on my radio program with colloidal silver, and they send me all these brochures that show me how well it works, you know, topically, and then they want to push it for internal use. And it's very hard when you are struggling to keep a network together. It is to say, I will not carry your advertisements. You can't advertise with this, but this has always been my position.
Yes.
There is no evidence that it's safe. You can get argyria, where your eyeballs turn black and where your skin turns grayish. And why would you want to take a heavy metal and poison yourself with it? I just don't think that there's any scientific studies that it works other than topically. So,
yes, there was a Dr. Robert Scott Bell who this particular type is of silver, I had heard. It is very natural. The particles are absorbable and tiny, and they do not do what that does. That's why I wondered if you could check with him on that.
I've never seen the scientific studies that convince me that it's safe, and so I'm not going to recommend it.
No.
If Dr. Nicholson agrees, overall, why I feel much better. Anyway, thanks very much.
Thank you, Doctor.
Bye-bye. And our telephone number again is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. And, you know, there's so much conflicting information out there on the Internet. You know, I mean, where can you really go on the Internet, and who can you really trust? I mean, I happen to have Dr. Nicholson. I have Dr. Blaylock. I think they're both honest and honorable people, and I have one or two other friends I trust, but I don't have full time to study this. And where, Dr. Nicholson, can people go on the Internet other than your website and get reliable information?
Well, they can on our website. There's actually a list of websites that they can go to that we've checked out for further information. A lot of these are patient support websites, and often that's a very good source of information just because the patient support groups of people have been through all these different remedies and so on, and they tend to put information on their sites and inform their membership about the things that work and the things that don't work. And it's one of the few places that you can, different places you can go to find information about things that don't work. Because you won't find it in the medical literature, because it's rare that anything that comes up negative on any kind of a clinical trial will actually get published.
Well, Chris, the thing is, as far as Lyme disease, and we have a four-tape set on Lyme disease. We actually carry a book on Lyme disease, 10 types of treatment on it. There are organizations out there. What the average individual doesn't know is there are probably, what do you think, 1 million, 2 million people? Do we have any idea out there how many people with Lyme disease were going from doctor to doctor trying to get help? And the average doctor really doesn't, if you don't have a positive blood test, they're not going to treat you.
Well, there are problems. Lyme disease is, again, another one of these chronic conditions caused by infectious microorganisms where it's not, you know, widely known, and now it's becoming more known, but people that actually are experts in treating this are few and far between, and actually state medical boards go after these individuals because they often put their patients under long-term antibiotic therapy, and which is quite necessary to treat these multiple infections that are present in Lyme disease, and the medical boards don't like that.
I know that, and it's really such a tragedy. These are doctors who are trying to help their patients and are not allowed to. And sometimes the doctor courageously tries to do what's right, and then he gets into all sorts of problems and can be put on suspension or even have his medical license pulled as being a quack. And yet the only way you're going to be able to get doctors to treat patients and to try and find out what you can do is to let them do it. And the more regulations we have, certainly the more difficult it becomes. Certainly there are some people who are quacks out there, but I think most doctors who treat these sort of patients are doing the best they can. It's a lonely job, believe me, because when it isn't accepted by medicine and you step out and try to do something on your own, why, you can really come under a lot of criticism. We'll be back here in just a moment to wrap up our program here with Dr. Garth Nicholson. Well, Garth.
I know what it's like to lay awake at night and worry about mounting credit card debt. That nagging feeling in the pit of your stomach that just won't go away, and the phone calls from collectors. Forget about it. Then I called Help You Out of Debt. Their professional staff of debt mediators were able to help me get my upside-down finances back on track and help stop the phone call. My Help You Out of Debt settlement specialist understood exactly what I was going through. My specialist was able to get creditors off my back, negotiate huge reductions on most of my balances, and help me fight back against the credit card companies. Help You Out of Debt specialists are experts in debt mediation and settlement. They are on your side. They've helped thousands of people just like me and can help you too. Call now and get a free debt review. If you're $10,000 or more in credit card or unsecured debt and ready to start fighting back, call 866-374-3101 and get your free debt review. That's 866-374-3101 or on the web at helpyououtofdebt.com. 866-374-3101.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verky water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verky water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Change the names to protect themselves from lawsuits. Project Daylily, written by Dr. Garth Nicholson and Dr. Nancy Nicholson. one of the great stories, and you certainly want to get it. We have a great DVD with Dr. Nicholson called Terrible New Diseases. That's Terrible New Diseases. We can recommend that as well. And then, of course, we have four tape sets on Lyme disease, on chronic fatigue syndrome. We have a four tape set on the Gulf War illness. We have four tape sets on so many things. We want you, of course, to listen to what people who've dealt with these terrible diseases have to say, and then, of course, begin to learn the fact that you have to be responsible for your own health. If I could recommend one book on health, it would be the book by our good friend, Dr. Russ Blaylock, Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life. Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life is a book you need to have. My wife uses that sort of as a Bible. And, of course, it goes into all the trickery that's used out there to conceal the various poisons that they're putting in the food, like MSG and all the various names that they've given it, so you won't know that they're putting the poisons in your soup and in your... And then, of course, the aspartame, the dangers of that, and it's in your children's chewing gums and childhood things. All of these things have a different effect on the mind. They have an impact on the immune system. They are carcinogenic. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, they are putting carcinogenic substances in our food. And, of course, why do you think the incidence of cancer has gone up from 1 in 33, as it was at the beginning of the last century, to 1 in 2 men and 1 in 3 women at the present time? Do you think that happened just by accident? You really need, of course, to get the information we have on why do we still have cancer. They're effectively suppressing cancer treatments. We have a four-tape set on Laetrile. We have four-tape sets on all sorts of things that you would need to have. But if you're only going to get one thing this evening, let me suggest the book, Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life by Dr. Russell Blaylock. We have a four-tape set of some of my interviews with Russell called Life-Saving Secrets, and we have a large number. One of these days we'll get around to putting all of my interviews with Russell certainly onto tape sets. We'll be coming up with a great new tape set on vaccines and how they're poisoning you and your children. But, of course, we have a four-tape set on the human papillomavirus vaccine, HPV vaccine, Gardasil. I mean, why are we possibly doing this? Why are we vaccinating the children with all the complications from the vaccines? But you're being told vaccines are safe and efficient. They are not. They're not safe and they're not effective. We have a little book by Neil Miller we've recommended strongly. Vaccines, are they safe and effective? And the answer is a resounding no. Why are they trying to get you to take the influenza vaccine now? Why are they trying to scare you to death and telling you, do you know that 36,000 people die every day, every year of influenza and its complications? And that's why you've got to rush out and get your full shot of mercury in the vaccines we're giving you. And people don't have any idea what's really going on. Let me recommend, of course, that you get the four-tape set on the Gardasil vaccine. I think it's important that you understand that there is no justification for what they're doing. Neil Miller's books, and we carry three of them. Vaccines, are they safe and effective? You need to get them for yourself, for your children, your grandchildren. And then, of course, the book on autism. And finally, Neil Miller's book on the Vaccine Safety Manual, the Vaccine Safety Manual by Neil Miller. They're all available by calling 1-800-544-8927. And remember Dr. Garth Nicholson's DVD, Terrible New Diseases. And then, of course, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. Please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection.
You're tuned to the Global Star Radio Network. Thanks for listening.
There are many people asking questions.
Good afternoon, good evening, ladies and gentlemen, wherever you're situated on this great, big, beautiful blue globe floating through the void of Yah's creation. It is Wednesday, the 19th of November, 2008. For those of you that happen to be watching the tube yesterday, soon as we finished the program, we ran screaming from the little studio into turned on the television to see what was going on with this
leave no banker behind bailout.
Yeah, Bernanke and Paulson being, quote-unquote, grilled by the panel examining.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, there were a couple of tough questions, and but I got to tell you, if you watch that, and if you listen to what was being said, and it's kind of hard to weed through all this legal and financial mumbo-jumbo, but if you understand what was going on, you'll understand why we asked the question, where is the line in the sand? This is Dave.
And Joyce, and we're also having some audio from Ron Paul, Congressman...